It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
March 3rd through the 7th in the year 2025. That's the upcoming year. The Browns are giving you an opportunity to go on an all-inclusive five-day cruise to the Caribbean. It looks pretty snazzy. There are a lot of guys going on this, including the gentleman who joins us right now, former Pro Bowl tight end Gary Barnage. Gary, how are you? Good to have you with us.
Hey, Gary.
How y'all doing? I appreciate y'all having me on. I'm doing great.
Are you like going to tanning booths and everything, getting ready already for the cruise, or are you just going to wait on that for a little while?
No, I live in Florida, so for me, I've always got that natural tan.
Thanks, Gary. That was really nice of you.
That's the way to kill this joke line. He was all excited. He was all excited. The most generous tight end in the history of the Browns, by the way.
Yeah?
Yeah, you did the movie theater thing, right? When you were here, we filled up the movie theater with you.
I did. I did a lot of movie giveaways. I did trivia questions and took 10 fans to the movies every week. And then I rented it out a couple times to bring fans for certain movies that release and stuff. Just giving back to the fans.
You really missed your calling. You could have made a lot less money going into radio promotions. You missed your calling on that one.
Oh, golly. Before we get into the Browns this year and in your time with the Browns, tell us about the cruise.
So I will say this is the second cruise I went on last year's, and it is a unique opportunity for fans because it is a opportunity to find out and ask all the questions you've always wondered. And there's not going to be any filter on the players. They're going to give you an unfiltered thoughts and how they felt during the time, any questions you had during the times when they were there. They will give you anything and everything, and it's unfiltered because it doesn't matter. Like, so I think that gives you a unique aspect for the fans. They get to learn more about certain situations that were going on when players were there that they may not have gotten an answer. Well, they'll be able to get it in one-on-one interactions and during, like, the table talks when we get to talk with everybody. We have dinner with everybody, so you get all kinds of questions. And last year was awesome. They had a great time. They had fans ask a lot of unique questions that haven't heard before. So I think that was awesome to see that they were very engaged as well.
Gary, give me one of those questions that the fans would ask or something that kind of knocked your socks off while you were done or something you didn't know, maybe.
Yeah, so I think probably one of the most interesting questions was they asked stuff about my high school stats. Hmm. I didn't think anybody was going back asking about high school stuff because usually they always want to talk about Brown stuff, but they were asking about like why, because I played defensive end in high school and I played tight end as well, but they asked more about my defensive end days and stuff like that. That was a unique aspect because I never get to talk about me playing defensive end when I played because I love playing the end. So like that was just a unique aspect that I hadn't got to use before.
Bunch of the guys going, Webster Slaughter, John Hughes, Craig Robertson, Joe Schobert, Christian Kirksey, Seth the Valve, Josh Cribbs, Hanford Dixon, John Greco, Eric Metcalf, you, Gary Barnage, Kevin Mack, Reggie Langhorne. It's going to be a fun time, and folks can go to BrownsFanCruise.com to sign up, find out all kinds of information, BrownsFanCruise.com, so you can get after that. Gary, you were primarily, and correct me if I'm wrong, used as a blocker during your time in Carolina, 4 years. You were there 5 years total, but one with an injury. Then you came to the Browns, and you were used primarily as a blocker. And then in 2015, life changed. What the heck happened when you catch 79 passes for over 1,000 yards and 9 touchdowns with Josh McCown and Johnny Manziel as your quarterback?
So the funny thing is, when I was drafted, I was considered a receiving tight end. But that's because I could do both well in college. So I did both, and people thought I was going to be the receiving guy. Well, they traded for Greg Olsen in my third year in Carolina. Well, obviously, you know, that's history because Greg Olsen's going to go down as one of the greatest tight ends. So didn't get an opportunity, so I had to just find another role, and that was special teams and be the pass blocker and run blocker for the team. So I just honed in on that, and I guess when I came to Cleveland, because I came with Chud from Carolina days when he was our offensive coordinator, I came with him when he got the head coaching job, and then I came here thinking I was going to get that opportunity to be Greg Olsen. Well, we had Jordan Cameron, so I was like, okay, well, I'm just going to keep doing what I do, and then Jordan got hit with a couple concussions, and then they actually got to let me run some routes, and I was able to make plays, which was always there, just was never given the opportunity. And I think that's probably the biggest thing I would say is this league is all about getting the opportunity to show, because players have the ability to do it. It's just whether they get in a position to show with the talent they have, the opportunities, and they take advantage of them. Because that's the thing, is a lot of guys don't take advantage once they get that opportunity.
You sure did, man. Your numbers were great, and you made a Pro Bowl. What did that season do for you personally?
I think it was just validation of that, hey, I could do both, because I still could run, I still ran block, and I still caught balls. And I think that is lost a little bit in today's tight ends, is not as many guys are known for both. They're known for one or the other. And I think that is the true test of a tight end, is somebody that can do both. And that is one thing I always tried to do, is be able to do both.
I got a couple football questions, but I do want to talk about your relationship with the city. I know you brought it up a little bit, but I mean, even on some lean teams when it came to winning, fans absolutely loved you when you played here. And, you know, I know the little things like, you know, the movie stuff, but how was your relationship with the fans, and how awesome was that for you when you look back on your entire career, just being in the city of Cleveland?
So I think it was awesome because, and this is what I've said even since I've left and everything, whether Cleveland's winning or losing, team that they're selling out. Fans are there for you. They're excited about it. And I think that is a testament to the fans and how much they love Browns football. And for me, I just wanted to find a way to give back, because I feel like fans never got an opportunity to get to know the players, and they never get an opportunity to like see them outside of just football. I want them to know us as, I wanted them to know me as a person, not just a football player, because I feel like they never get that opportunity. And that's why I started doing the movie giveaways, and then I did a lot of stuff in the community, because I think that was just the way to show, hey, I'm just a normal person too. I just happen to be playing the sport, and I wanted you to know me as a person. And that's why I also started bringing teammates to the movie giveaway, so that way they could meet other teammates and just giving them that unique aspect that they probably wouldn't get any other place.
Gary Barnidge joining us, former Browns tight end. You mentioned Rob Jedzinski, and you were with him in Carolina. He came here. He got a year as head coach. I got to be honest, Gary, Chud is the one guy that I've thought all along, it's like, man, I would have liked to have seen what he could have done had he stayed in the job. I thought he could become a good NFL head coach, and he hasn't been able to do that since. Did he get a raw deal here?
Well, if you say that, but like everybody was getting a raw deal when I was here, coach-wise. They didn't get a chance to show everything. Sure. And so that's the unfortunate aspect, because if you look back at even like the Mike Pettine days, there's four current head coaches in the NFL that were on that coaching staff.
Yeah.
Like, and like any of those guys could have been.
Norv Turner, yeah.
Yeah, well, you had Kyle Shanahan, you had what's his name in Miami?
Mike McDaniel.
Yep, Mike McDaniel. You had who else? I'm pretty sure Shane Steichen was on the QB, I believe, one of those times, the QB coach, I think. So, like, that's the thing, is like there was so much talent here and coaches. And once they, and this is once Kyle saw how things were forced with Manziel, I was like, I can't stay here. And then he went and got that job at San Fran, hasn't looked back. But I do think Chud definitely got a role. He only got 1 year, and yeah, it didn't go as great as they wanted, but it takes more than a year. You got to give a coach more than a year to get something. Or why'd you bring him there? That was, to me, it was just a waste of a year for the team. It sets you back.
Gary Barnidge joining us, former Browns tight end. This year's team is off to a start that nobody envisioned, Gary. They're 1-5. The offense is out of sync. As a guy who knows offenses, you watch this team and you think what about what's going on the field?
I think it's a true testament to show what kind of the lifeblood Nick Chubb is to the team. I think if Nick Chubb's there, it's a whole different question. And I think that it shows just that everything revolves around him. And when he's not there, the team really struggles because they still have other capable backs, but they're not Nick Chubb. And I think the offense runs through him. So I think that it shows how important he is to this offense. And I think that's probably the biggest thing, because teams aren't really worried as much about the run, especially with all the injuries on the O-line they've had. So teams are like, okay, we're just going to stop your run. And Watson has been doing well throwing, so we're just going to see. Y'all got to find some way to beat us. And the defense is trying to keep them in games. But I think Nick Chubb is the missing piece for that offense, because everything runs through him.
As you look at a quarterback like Deshaun Watson, and you know he's the offensive line is really struggling right now. They're on pace to give up 86 sacks for the season, but yet every once in a while Kevin's going to throw two tight ends out there. I'm curious when you watch this, do you think he needs two tight ends just to have, you know, six or seven guys on the line to make sure that he's got time? And then how difficult is it when you've got a quarterback that is going to hang on to the ball a little bit longer? He's done it his whole career to try to scramble and play that position from a line standpoint, not from a receiver standpoint.
Yeah, I think from a line standpoint, it's tough, because if a guy's moving around, you don't actually know where they're at behind you, because you're expecting them to be in the pocket. And if they move around too much, well, that's going to give up sacks and pressures, because they're setting for them to be in the pocket. So I think just in general, the scrambling quarterback makes it a little tough, because if they're moving around all over the place, tackles, like I know, for example, Joe Thomas, when he's set the same way every time, because he's expecting that quarterback to be in the same spot every time. So if he's not, well, then that affects what's happening on the line. But when it comes to like two tight ends, if you have two tight ends on the line all the time, then you're not going to have great route combinations. So if you're doing that for protection, well, now you're hindering the passing game, because you can only do so many route combinations if you have so many people blocking.
Gary Barnidge joining us, Browns tight end. Amari Cooper gets traded. Buffalo, you're 1-5. Your numbers to make the playoffs are slim. But what kind of a message does that send in the locker room? Is it a good one? He didn't look happy here, wasn't playing as well as he has. But there are probably a lot of factors involved in that, Gary. What do you think?
Yeah, I think there was, because obviously I know he wanted the contract and all that kind of stuff. And so he wasn't going to get it. So I think it also eliminates a distraction that could have been in the locker room. We don't actually know if there was or not in the locker room. Usually there's not. I know usually when everybody thinks there's distractions, the players aren't really distracted by it. But it could have been something just by him. I know he's had a lot of drops this year, but that's also been his MO throughout his career. But it also puts a strain on the rest of the players, but it also gives, like I said earlier, it gives other players an opportunity to step up and show what they can do. And it could be something that makes it positive for the team. It could allow the team to, hey, these guys could show out and turn things around a little bit.
Gary, great to have you with us. BrownsFanCruise.com, where you can go find out all the information you need about the 5-day Caribbean cruise coming up March 3rd through the 7th. You can sign up. You can meet Gary, Kevin Mack, Reggie Langhorne, Phil Taylor, Webster Slaughter, John Hughes. A number of Browns players are going to be on that cruise. Gary, thanks for your time. We appreciate it, and keep working on that tan.
Thanks, Gary.
No problem. Thank you all for having me. Y'all have a great day.
Hey, who's to blame for the Buckeyes' loss to Oregon, and how does it impact Ohio State moving forward? Nick Wilson and Spencer German break down everything around Ryan Day and the Buckeyes in their Sons of the Shoe podcast. Subscribe now on the Odyssey app at 923thefan.com or wherever you get your podcast to make sure you have fresh episodes during each week of the college football season.
That's Andy Baskin. I'm Jeff Phelps. We are at the Rally House in Fairview Park. Stop on out and have a chance to win a Josh Naylor limited jersey. 2 o'clock for the drawing on that. You don't need to be present. Something weird happened in the Ohio State game. At least it felt weird to a lot of folks. A gentleman who is digging into it and thinking it might lead to some rule changes is the senior writer for college football for Yahoo Sports. He's Ross Dellinger. And you can follow Ross on Twitter at Ross Dellinger, D-E-L-L-E-N-G-E-R. He joins us right now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Ross, good morning to you.
Hey, Ross.
Good morning. How are y'all?
Good.
We are well. Thank you very much. So late in the game, Ohio State has the football. They're trying to get into field goal position, and Oregon gets called for 12 men on the field. And the clock runs, and time goes off the clock, and they don't reset the clock, and Ohio State loses some time. And then Oregon saying later, hey, you know what? We did that on purpose. Brilliant, Ross? Or are they just saying that now? Because it looks like a brilliant move.
Yeah, it certainly did. I guess we don't know for sure, but it does seem like Dan Lanning, the Oregon coach, is seemed to acknowledge on Monday in his news conference that he did that was intentionally done to run clock. Basically, Oregon traded having an extra defensive back out there on an obvious passing down for a 5-yard penalty in 4 seconds run off the clock. And it's kind of a loophole. Administrators will now tell you, and a loophole that really hasn't been exploited before. If it was intentionally done, it hasn't been done really before like that. We haven't seen that. So the NCAA Rules Committee has been examining the play, and I think today, tomorrow, maybe Friday, certainly by Friday, they will probably release, as we wrote in a story yesterday on Yahoo.com, that they'll release a interpretation, what's called a interpretation bulletin. And they've done it before, and it's basically a directive for officials in future games to handle the play differently. And in this case, you know, it would be to discourage coaches from doing this again. And the only way to do that, of course, would be a directive for officials to return the game clock to what it was before the snap, before the penalty. So enforce the penalty, but return the game clock to its to what it was. So in that, if they were doing that in that game, Ohio State would have had 10 seconds and not 6 seconds for the final play, which probably would have given them two final plays.
Yeah, but it's not – so the directive is to – still let the play out. It's not a dead ball foul then, right? Because if you're on offense.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, it just seems I was like, when you had the story yesterday, I was like, wow. And how often do we see something like this happen that fast that they would do a rule change that quickly?
Yeah. And I should be clear, you know, it is just like a directive sort of thing. So it's not a rule change. Takes a lot longer, obviously.
Yeah.
It's usually an off-season thing that can take months, if not even years. It goes through a whole process. So that will that come during the off-season? I'm not sure. But the directive will be something that will address the play for this year. The idea is to prevent it from happening again. The main component, you know, to the rules committee, one of the main kind of ethic components to the rules committee is that a team that is penalized should not benefit from the penalty. And obviously in this case, they did.
Yeah, when I read your story yesterday, I was like, wow, this seems really fast for the NCAA because, I mean, they're worried about this NIL thing coming. Oh, wait, that kind of hit him in the face really quick, didn't it? You know, for that, I was like, that just sounds way too fast for the NCAA to do something about it. But I thought it was great. Like, immediately when I read your story yesterday, I was like, all right, they're looking into that, and they're going to try to do something. So it's one of the few times where I've actually said, hey, look, the NCAA might be trying to do something right here. But I got to tell you, from a coaching standpoint, I mean, it was brilliant to pull that off, especially after a timeout.
It was, yeah, yeah. It made a lot of sense, and I think Ohio State had three receivers to the right side of the field and one receiver to the left side, and Oregon basically put their extra defender to the three receiver side, kind of forcing a throw to the one-on-one receiver that had a safety over the top, and it was an incomplete pass, but. It was kind of a savvy move there, if it was intentional, as Dan Lanning seemed to suggest. Then it was a pretty brilliant idea.
Ross, what do you think the loss means to Ohio State? Because we have a lot of Buckeye fans here that are absolutely freaking out, and I'm telling you, I'm like, look at the new playoff format. It may not hurt as anywhere near what it used to, even 2-3 years ago. And by the way, at the end of the day, with the new playoff format, that's a great game between the number two and the number three team in the country if you can forget about your allegiance. So what does this mean for Ohio State moving down the road?
Well, you're right. It's in an expanded playoff, you got eight more teams that are going to get in. And so it opens the kind of the field significantly. And I ran the math a little bit of the last 10 years. If you applied the 12-team playoff to the last 10 seasons, and 78 teams would have finished inside the top 11 that have at least one loss, and most of those have two or three losses. 42 teams over the last 10 years would have finished in the top 11 and had two or three losses. So we will almost certainly see multiple teams with two losses, and maybe, depending on the season and how things go, even a team or two with a third loss make the playoff. Because you can see the consolidation of the big brands into the a couple of the power conferences in the Big Ten and SEC is going to lead to more losses. It's just natural that it's going to lead to more losses. So. I think that Ohio State fans should look at this a little differently. You got to look at going on the road, to a top three opponent and basically coming down to one play. You're just one play away from winning the game. And the selection committee would take all that into account. And I don't think there's any need to panic. Again, even if you lose again, you put yourself in a little more difficult position, but we will certainly have two lost teams in the playoff.
Ross Dellinger joining us from Yahoo Sports, covers college football. You can follow Ross on X at Ross Dellinger, Dellenger. With all that in mind, Ross, I think it's great for college football. You can go play Oregon. Mm-hmm. Oregon can go play Michigan. You can do all this, and you lose the game, you're not necessarily, ruining your season. It has a real NFL feel to me. Add the 2-minute timeout and everything else. And I think it's a great, smart step for college football. Does it get bigger even as things continue? I mean, you have 18 teams in the Big Ten. Who knows where it goes? Do you think it gets even bigger and better? And overall, you think the way it's going is good for the sport of college football?
Well, yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I think the expanded playoff specifically is great for college football. You know, I always hearken back to the percentages of teams that make the postseason, and that percentage was at 3% under the four team model, and that's, you know, all FBS, including all FBS schools, so about 135 programs, and when you had three of 135, it's right around 3%. It just give you an idea that most NCAA championships, softball, volleyball, even basketball, are at least at 10%, and some of them are as high as 20% of the field advance to some kind of postseason. And so that 3% certainly needed to increase. And at 12 teams, it's about 10%, 9 or 10% now make the postseason, which I think is pretty ideal. I'm sure eventually it will be expanded. It would not surprise me at all if college football's final postseason kind of resting place, so to speak, is 16. I think that probably is the more the ideal number, and that's about, you know, anywhere from 12 to 13% probably of FBS would make the postseason. Again, a fairly low number, especially when you look at professional sports. That's often over 20% that makes the postseason. So it was definitely needed. It's great to involve more programs. Great to have automatic qualifiers, so you still have the importance of winning a conference championship.
Hmm. Ross, thank you for the insight. We appreciate it very much, and it's fascinating what's going on in college football, and I think in a really good way. Thank you.
Thanks, Ross.
Kevin Stefanski is going to speak coming up at noon. We will hear Kevin talk all about that trade because we haven't had any official comments from the Browns as of yet. So get ready for Kevin coming up at noon. I'm Jeff Phelps. My buddy's Andy Baskin. We are at the Rally House in Fairview Park. Nice thing here is all kinds of folks are stopping by. Chip, our buddy, stopped by, gave me a challenge flag to throw when Andy says something silly.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's been thrown 25 times already just during the break.
That's true.
Tough. Robert from Brecksville stopped out.
Yeah.
To show us his Malibu that has 400 and some odd thousand miles on it, giving me grief about my van that died at 396. Robert, thank you for stopping out. And Becky dropped by and gave us this nice note. We need a team before we need a new stadium. So, if you have anything you want to say, by God, stop on out. Or call 216-474-0092. Amari Cooper is now a Buffalo Bill. You can add that to the resume.
One more thing we forgot to say. Evan Taylor, happy 25th birthday.
Oh, Evan, there you go. Yep. By God, we're just here to wish happy birthday.
That's what we are. It's like prize movie or something. I don't know. Keep going. Spin the wheel, baby. Spin the wheel.
Prize movie. Speaking of prizes, Josh,
I'm still upset that your picture was never on that wheel.
Josh Naylor, limited jersey, 2 o'clock giveaway. You don't have to be present to win, but you need to come out and register.
Superhost was on the wheel, but you weren't.
So do that.
It was weak.
Turn the page, Andy.
I can't. I'll never let that go. Turn I stayed home from school sick so I could page. Make sure I could watch him spin the wheel during that movie. And I was like, Jeff Phelps, Jeff Phelps, Jeff Phelps. And
Amari Cooper was traded happened. Yesterday, and you're worried about the prize wheel from 1993.
Yeah, and there's a problem with that?
So Amari gets
that feels
traded.
Current yeah. for the show.
What'd yeah, you think? I assumed. I assumed that at 1-5, it was only a matter of time before Amari was traded. I'm surprised it happened now. I can't say it's a bad move timing-wise. And I say that only because of this. Amari wasn't performing as he usually did. Insert your own reason why here. Bottom line, I don't think there was any way the Browns were bringing him back next year, and I don't think there was any way he wanted to be back next year. So I assumed he was going to get traded. I'm a little surprised at the timing, though, Andy.
I'm not. I think if he would have had a couple catch, if he would have caught that first down pass on the first drive last week, he might still be a member of the Browns. But it's not working, and it didn't work. And I'm happy for Amari, and we'll see what the third round pick looks like down the road. It's opportunity for Jerry Jeudy. It's opportunity for Elijah Moore. It's opportunity for Cedric Tillman. And hopefully we get to see Jamari Thrash, because there were times during preseason, for whatever that's worth, I thought Thrash looked pretty cool. So I want to see him get some opportunity. And, you know, do they pick up another wide receiver this week? That's another question.
Let me throw some names at you.
Okay.
And I get it. Pretty decent return for a guy you knew wasn't coming back next year, and who is a 30-year-old wide receiver, but the folks in Buffalo are absolutely giddy to get him and yeah, add him to Josh Allen. Let me throw these names at you. Jordan Elliott, Jacob Phillips, Anthony Schwartz, Martin Emerson, Alex Wright, David Bell, Cedric Tillman, Siaki Ika, who's now unemployed, Zach Zinter. That's what Andrew Berry has done with third-round draft choices. Which ones have clicked? Martin Emerson, although he's not playing as well this year as he has in the past. Mm-hmm. I like Alex Wright. He's injured. He's out. This team has not turned third-round draft choices into really good pros very often.
Those are names in a slot. I mean, it's not like the
those
next
aren't
third
names
round.
In the slot. That's who they took.
Well, yeah, I know, but what I'm saying is it's like, okay, so it hasn't worked for this many of these third-round picks. Who knows? I mean, we still don't know what Zach Zinter is going to be once he figures out the league. He needs to figure things out. I mean,
I agree.
He's been,
that.
I mean, just trial by fire, like, right away on this thing. And, like, do you expect a third-round pick to have instant impact? No, they're a guy you're expecting a year down the road, maybe a year and a half down the road, to be able to contribute. How many of those guys are wide receivers?
Three.
So the wide receiver. I'm not going to lie, Jeff.
How many of them have clicked?
When I saw third round, I thought, oh, another failed wide receiver.
Yeah, did you?
That's the problem. Is that it just hasn't worked out in the third round.
Although
we still don't know what Tillman is. We don't.
Well, I think he. I'm excited about what he could be. We, unfortunately for him this year, it's dropping a pass that hit him between the 1 and the 9 on his jersey. I do think Cedric has some ability, and I'm really anxious to see what he can do. And I'm hoping that he's the guy who gets the opportunity and flourishes here with Amari Cooper out. I think Amari is a good wide receiver. I've said since he got here, I don't think he's absolutely upper echelon. I don't rank him in the top 10. But I think he's a good wide receiver, and I don't know that you get better by trading good players, but you're 1-5. And that reality of it combined with, I'll bet, a little sense of urgency in Buffalo after the Jets picked up Devontae Adams made the Jets cough up a third, or the Bills cough up a third.
You know, that's a good point. I didn't think about it. But yeah, you're right. Maybe that's the case.
I think
it's going to be benefit. I definitely think it's going to be beneficial to Buffalo right away. I think he'll have fresh air, change of scenery, a quarterback who maybe he'll connect with a little bit better. That's all there is to it.
That won't take much, will it?
No.
Will is in Olmsted Falls. Hello, Will.
Hi, how are you guys?
Hey, Will, how are you?
We're fine, Will. We're at the Rally House in Fairview Park.
Oh, okay. I'm just coming back from the doctor's getting a prescription.
Good. I hope
you're
better.
That's good.
Yeah, and it's a nice crummy day, huh?
There you go. Hopefully your copay was good. What do you got for us, my friend?
What do we say we talk some sports, Will?
Hey, well, I think the main problem was with this team was in the very beginning when we gave away, what's his name, to play with his son.
Bill Callahan.
Bill Callahan.
Coach,
we should have kept him. because, you know, and then if we would have kept him, I think by Kevin Stefanski, he would realize, you know, I have to turn over to play calling sooner or later. And maybe if we still had Callahan, that might have been done.
All right, Will, maybe not. What we know is that Bill Callahan is in Tennessee, and he's not here, and they have a problem, and they need to fix it. Kevin Stefanski's press conference is coming up at noon. We're going to hear it. I can't wait to hear what he says about Amari Cooper. I can't wait to hear what he says about the quarterback situation. My guess is he's going to say Deshaun Watson's our starting quarterback. And that's all there is to it. Kevin's coming up at noon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.